Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Isn't this Representative Grossel's first bill before us?
You know what? I'm gonna take us off a recess, and I want you to ask that question again, Representative Nelson. I understand that our technical issue has been resolved, and we are back in committee. And Representative Nelson, you had a question. We'll go with your question.
Well, Chair O'Driscoll, isn't this the first time we've seen Representative Grossel before our committee? And
I do believe you are correct, Representative Nelson. Representative Grossel.
In defense of myself, Mr. Chair, the understanding that I had of freshmen providing a snack for the first bill that they present in a committee, not all committees.
Well,
I noticed that there's been a continued hazing of the freshmen and taking advantage of their
freshmanness,
their freshmanness, and causing them to bring all these snacks to people that really don't need more snacks.
Representative Grossley. Wow. This bill is going to be laid over. On a more serious matter, because we do have a robust agenda this morning. When we left off, and now that we're back, we had the question of local government being added in and a question whether or not we needed a statutory definition for local emergency. And we were going to go to Representative Nelson. Or excuse me, Mr. Gehring was going to clarify, then we're going to go to Representative Nelson. Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair and committee members, so in conferring with the staff from the League of Minnesota Cities, I think what I would suggest for the oral amendment is on line 2.10, after declared emergency, insert or local emergency.
And then the question was, do we have a statutory definition of local emergency?
Mr. Chair, yes, so there is a process for declaring a local emergency in section 12.29. And I think for purposes of this amendment, I would just say local emergency as I described, and then in the next committee we might update the cross-reference just to make sure.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that oral amendment.
Representative Nelson moves the oral amendment on line 2.10, insert after the words a declared emergency or local emergency. All those in favor, or any other discussion to the oral amendment? Seeing none and hearing none, all those in favor of the oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? I have no other member questions at this time. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to testify on the matter before the committee? House File 2809 as amended. Anyone wishing to testify on House File 2809 as amended? Seeing none and hearing none, Representative Grossel will give you a chance to redeem yourself from your previous comments as you make the final comments on your bill this morning before the committee gives serious consideration to what we're going to do with this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to bring this bill forward. And, you know, I see that everybody does look physically fit, and, you know, I could see my way in the future to addressing the lack of snacks.
Representative Grossel, we do not like pandering in this committee. With that, I renew my motion that House File 2809, as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on State Government Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. Representative Grossel, you are on your way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Metza. Members, you will recall that we have some leftover business or unfinished business with House File 3077 from Representative Metza. I understand that we now have this worked out, and as Representative Metza assured me, this won't take more than 60 seconds. Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
What I'm going to do, just procedurally, Representative Metza, is I'm going to move House File 3077 before the committee, and now I'm going to be re-referred to the General Register. And so at this time, I'm going to turn it over to you, Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Could we move the DE3 to meet that 60-second mark, please?
Representative Metza, I will move the DE3 amendment to House File 3077 to get it in the shape that the author wishes. Any discussion on the DE3 amendment to get the bill in the shape that the author wishes? Seeing none and hearing none, all those in favor of the DE3 amendment to House File 3077 signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Representative Metza, the bill is now in the form that you would like. Proceed with your testimony, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know, members, we went over this last time, and I will not repeat any of the things I said last time, other than the goal was to get this in the shape where the county was on board, the Port Authority was on board, And we have taken the time to do that in the most simplistic way without having a bunch of hoops to jump through with adding additional members and things. And it simply requires the county to have someone who represents an active mining area on the county appointments to be appointed to the Port Authority. And then the enacting language allows them to vote locally to adopt this and make that work in the future. So that is the update, and everyone's on board.
Thank you, Representative Metsa. And you have a testifier today?
I do.
We'll proceed with identifying yourself for the record and identify who you're with and proceed with your testimony. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Bradley Peterson with Flaherty & Hood here today on behalf of the Duluth Seaway Port Authority. I just want to indicate the Port Authority's comfort with this language. We appreciate the work that Representative Metsa and others have put in to resolve these issues, and we're comfortable moving forward. Thank you.
Members, questions on House File 3077 as amended? Seeing no member questions right now, is there anyone from the public who'd like to testify on House File 3077 as amended? Anyone present today that would like to testify on House File 3077 as amended? Seeing none and hearing none, Representative Metsa, before I give you the final word, I'm going to ask Representative Nelson. This is the third time this bill has been before us. Do we have any rules on treats with third-time bills? Just questioning.
Chair, I'm not aware that you have any rules on that, but if we go along tonight, we could all enjoy something this evening.
Well, let's hope that we don't have to do that. Representative Metsa, we'll give you the final word, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will commit to having Representative Grossel bring milk along with whatever treat that he has.
Representative Metsa, I renew my motion that House File 3077, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails.
Thank you.
The next bill... Okay. The next bill before us will be House File 3217, Representative Lunan. House File 3217, Representative Lunan. As he makes his way to the testifying table, I will bring House File 3217 before the committee to be re-referred to the Committee on State Gov Finance. Representative Lunan, welcome to the committee today, sir. The bill is before us if you want to proceed, and then I see you also have a testifier. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House File 3217, right before I came up, I do have the Raising Commissioner with me today, and he said for the sake of time, I shouldn't talk much. I would love to say he's the first person to say that to me, but he's not. So what this bill does is it has to do with some technical fixes for oversight and dealing with the marketability of the entertainment product of horse racing in Minnesota. So I'll acquiesce to my testifier.
Well, thank you, Mr. Representative Lunan. Marketability is extremely important. Good morning and welcome. If you will state your name for the record and who you represent and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair and members, Tom DePasquale, Executive Director of the Minnesota Racing Commission, and I won't talk a lot either. But I do want to highlight a couple points in the bill. These are procedural changes and technical changes to our enabling legislation. One of them is to define racing or gaming-related vendors. These are companies who are multinational gaming providers to our two tracks and their card rooms. And we have a category of licensees, which are concessionaires and vendors, and that includes everybody from the Nut Lady to Bally's Gaming. And these companies really require more regulatory oversight, more background checks, and more time and expense of the commission. So we want to isolate them and differentiate them from the garden variety vendors at the racetrack. And this statutory definition will help us promulgate rules to do so. The second change is to change from issuing an annual report once a year to only odd-numbered years. This would be at the beginning of the biennium, so legislators have a full picture of the commission status, our finances at the beginning of the biennium. We do this annually. We're required to do so now. But oddly enough, there's a law in Minnesota that does not allow us to share this with you unless you ask for it. We put it on file at the House Reference Library, so we publish a lot of these, but we distribute very few. It takes a lot of time and effort, and we would still issue an annual letter to oversight committees in the governor's office, and obviously we communicate in other ways as well through our social media and public meetings. The third change is to update and clarify appeal rights of licensees in disciplinary proceedings. Right now, we can summarily suspend someone for an indefinite period of time, and we think that should be limited to 90 days to protect the interests and rights of people who are pursuing their careers. We want to change the appeal rights within the commission. Oddly enough, the way the statute is structured now, the commission does not get to rule independently before a disciplinary matter goes to a contested case. So, for example, we have an instance now where there was a violation in May of last year. It's set before the administrative law judge in June or later of this coming year. It'll be about 16 months before that gets finally adjudicated. Under the bill that we proposed, that matter would go to the commission for a resolution, and then the licensee would have the option to appeal to the administrative law judge for a contested case or not appeal or appeal for a rehearing before the commission. We also want to give advance deposit wagering companies more time to pay us on a monthly basis. They summarize all the wagering that takes place by Minnesota residents through these wagering platforms, and 7 days, as currently prescribed by the statute, is too short a time for them to pay us on time, so we want to move that to 15 days. Card club revenues were, card clubs were approved in 1999 in Minnesota to generate purse money at the racetracks. In the last few years, certain card club revenues have been moved off-site to unregulated, unlicensed county fair racing, not under the jurisdiction of the commission. We think that's inconsistent with the legislative intent, and we want to clarify that card room revenues generated at the track are to be used for purses at the licensed racetrack. Last year, you gave us the authority to distribute fine money for racehorse retirement and aftercare, and this year we generated $47,000 in grants to take care of horses that come off the track. What we learned when we went to grant that money is that the legislature created a special revenue fund, but you didn't expressly say we have the right to spend the money. So when we went to release the funds, the Department of Administration told us you need a specific authorization from the legislature to actually spend the money that they authorized you to spend. So the amendment this year allows us to give grants, expenditures, and contracts for racehorse retirement and clarifies our responsibility. And I think that's it. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Pasquale. Any questions for the testifier or the bill author from members? Representative Nelson.
Just one minor question. That last point that you said, I'm looking at the language here, that this allows you to do this without having to come back to us every year. This allows you in perpetuity to be able to give those grants or release that money to give those grants.
Mr. Pasquale.
Chair, Representative Nelson, that's correct.
Thank you. Follow-up, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no other member questions at this time, Representative Luna, any other testifiers this morning?
I do not, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Is there anyone in the public or present today that would like to testify in House File 3217 that is before the committee this morning? House File 3217. Anyone wishing to testify? Seeing none and hearing none, no other member questions that I am aware of. Representative Luna, we will give you the last word on the bill before we consider it. And we're going to, again, refer that to the Committee on State Government Finance.
Mr. Chairman, it's a well-thought-out bill, technical in nature. Appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Lunan. I will renew my motion that House File 3217 be referred to the Committee on State Government Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. And with that, we are going to revert to House File 3296, Representative Keel. If you'll make your way to the testifier's table. And then the next bill that we'll be taking after that, Representative Lewick, 3557. So Keel now, House File 3296, followed by Lewick, House File 3557. Representative Keel, welcome to the committee. I am going to move the bill before the committee and to be re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety. So I will move House File 3296 before the committee to be re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety. Representative Keel, welcome to the committee. If you'll proceed with your bill presentation, and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate you hearing this bill today. As you all know from the news media, last November there was a huge report identifying the fact that the Office of Health Facility Complaints was very far behind in responding to a vulnerable adult abuse. And so after hearing from the Office of the Legislative Auditor and the problems that need to be addressed, we developed some legislation or bills that would be to help us identify. And today, House File 3296 is to address the crimes that may be committed against vulnerable adults. So this is intending to develop a working group that would address, are we now handling what is needed by a criminal act, or do we need to change the laws that are there already? And in having the hearings in Health and Human Services, especially in aging and long-term care, it came to our attention that a law officer came from on this day from Pequot Lakes and explained his challenges with when a crime was reported, could he actually find the level of ability to even charge somebody? And unfortunately, in some cases, no. And that person could actually, you know, the facility would say, we are no longer going to employ you. You did not support our residents, and let them go. But unfortunately, nothing is on their record, and so now they can proceed to another job, and there is nothing there to identify. So what I am coming to you forth today with is to ask that we develop a working group that will investigate this more deeply with all kinds of people who are invested in this discussion, and we can come to the legislature next January with some legislation that will work for not only addressing nursing home type facilities, but assisted living, group home, housing with services, all the different housing types of things that we provide for vulnerable adults. Remember, vulnerable adults are anyone from 18 and older. So anyway, with that, I don't believe I have any testifiers. I don't know if you have any questions for me.
Representative Keel, thank you. Having no testifiers, we'll see if there's member questions right now. Representative Freiberg, followed by Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There already was a working group that put together pretty specific recommendations on things we, you know, need to do to help protect our seniors. I guess I'm just curious what this working group would add to what the other working group has already put forward.
Representative Keel to Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Freiberg, I don't know if you were in aging and long-term care when we heard from the law enforcement gentleman about the challenges that they had, and this pulls out just this subject of the working group. There are more than one working group for the issues of vulnerable adults. Some of them are to handle the Office of Health Facility Complaints, although some of that is already in the bill, but also there's some other issues, licensure for housing with services and those types of things. But this is to specifically deal with the criminal acts that could happen or do happen against vulnerable adults.
Representative Freiberg, follow-up. No. Representative Nelson.
That was my question.
All right. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Keel, thank you for bringing this forward. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you before this. Just something to consider. I don't know, is this moving to General Register afterwards?
This is going to Public Safety.
In Public Safety, maybe you can reach out ahead of time, because I haven't even asked them about this, but I know the Alzheimer's Association was part of the task force the governor put together, and I think they would bring something else to the table, too, because a lot of these folks that are in assisted living or in memory care do have some form of dementia, and it brings just a different aspect to the investigation part of it because mm-hmm. of their issues. So would ask if you could maybe reach out to them.
Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Joaquim. Yes, I have a lot of personal experience with dementia and Alzheimer's, so totally understand the concerns there. And yes, we have to address the fact that people are not the crime is not discussed or investigated right now it was 38 days. And so we need to make sure that those people are addressed within 24, 48 hours. I believe they're supposed to respond now within 30 minutes. So we need to make sure that those things are happening. But very important. And I will talk to Beth McMullen about it.
Representative Joaquin, follow-up. I see no other member questions at this time. Is there anyone from the public or present today that would like to testify on House File 3296, which is before the committee this morning at this time? House File 3296, anyone wishing to testify? Seeing none, there being no other member questions that I'm aware of, I will renew my motion that House File, well, actually what I will do is I will ask Representative Keel to give her final comments, then I will renew my motion. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will just put out here, because this is such a concerning, I'm sure, for all of your constituencies, that if you do have suggestions or want to talk about this further, please reach out. I'm very interested in ideas and how we handle this so we don't come back here in 10 years talking about this again. This should never have to be a problem again. So with that, thank you.
Representative Keel, on behalf of the committee and others, we thank you for championing this. We know that we have an issue in the state of Minnesota, and thank you for taking your part and doing your actions on this. Greatly appreciated. And with that, I will renew that House File 3296 be re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Our next bill, House File 3557, Representative Lewitt, followed by House File 3463, Representative Petersburg. Those will be our next two bills that we'll be looking at. Representative Lewick, welcome to the committee, sir. I will move House File 3557 before the committee to be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Lewick, if you'd like to brief the committee on the bill, now is a good time to do that. Again, good morning and welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. 3557 simply changes we have a 10-mile exemption when we extend a motorized trail. Then based on DNR and the EQB looking at this, we all would like to move that to 25 miles before we go into a full-fledged EAW worksheet. A matter of history on this. This already went through the entire process last year, was signed into law by the governor. Unfortunately, all we did was change 10 to 25, and that got snarled up in the rulemaking process, so we went back to the drawing boards again. What you see in the bill here is a joint effort between the folks on the EQB and the Minnesota DNR with a little more specific language. And so with that, that's long and short of it, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Representative Luke, any testifiers that you have with you today?
No, sir.
Are there member questions at this time? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Luick. Why are we using the good cause exemption for the on the rules and not going through the regular rulemaking process afterward?
Representative Luick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the good cause approach, we can do this in a quite a bit quicker fashion. Every time we lose a construction season for this, we lose an opportunity. It puts a bind on both the funding available, because these are typically grant and aid trails. Also, every year we delay, we end up with increased costs. So if we go, you know, I heard the term 9 months up, as opposed to we could take a year or year and a half, but we start bumping construction seasons. That's the gut issue here.
Representative Nelson, any other member questions at this time? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lewick, I was just wondering why snowmobiling was taken out.
Representative Lewick.
That we haven't had an issue with that. Typically, snowmobiles cruise over stuff in the winter that's frozen that ATVs can't. And so we don't want year-round frost in the ground here in Minnesota, but that's why.
Representative Peterson, follow-up. Seeing no other member questions at this time, Representative Lewick, I'm going to open it up and see if there's any public comment. Anyone wishing to speak to or testify on the matter before the committee, which is House File 3557? Anyone wishing to testify on House File 3557? Seeing none and hearing none, Representative Lewick will give you the final word on House File 3557 before we take action.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the support.
I will renew my motion that House File 3557 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Lewick. And as we have, let's see, where are we at here? Representative Petersburg, House File 3463, as he makes his way to the testifying table, and then we will do House File 3032, which is Representative Lehman's bill next. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge a group of students that are with us, and if you would stand, if you would please. They are joining us. They are from the Minnesota Math and Science Academy here in St. Paul, and let's welcome them to the Government Operations Committee. Thank you for being with us today. And Representative Petersburg, we will bring before the committee House File 3463 to be re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Regulation. It is before the committee, so Representative Petersburg, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee, for hearing this bill. I'm going to spend time on the last Section 12, which I think is really of interest to this committee. If you have questions about the other parts of the bill, please feel free to do so. But I want to just go over the Vehicle Title Transfer and Registration Advisory Committee, which is part of this bill, starting on page 10. One of the things I want to just, you know, start off with by saying is that this really is intended to be very proactive. It is not intended to have any comments about what has passed. We know that the situation where we're at, we know that we need to move forward, and this really, I think, is an opportunity for us to help in that process for all of the people that are involved. As a matter of fact, I think if we had had an advisory committee like this back during the legacy system prior to MNLARS, we may have found that we needed to have changed it even earlier than we did currently. So this really is intended to create a advisory committee, and as you can see in line 1023, it's for effective and efficient systems planning and implementing. And on page 1131, the duties, it really is to serve as an advisory capacity to the Commissioner of Public Safety and Director of Vehicle Services, as well as reviewing and making recommendations for policy initiatives. So it's a fairly straightforward process, and it follows most of the parameters in regards to governing committees like this. You can see starting on 10.28, the makeup of the committee, in which it really is an attempt to get all the stakeholders that are involved in license and registration systems to the table to look at how can we improve the system? What are the issues moving forward? We know that there's going to be some ongoing need for adjustment and changes throughout, and so we think this is an opportunity for us to really be proactive and help in that process. It does have a sunset of 2021. Legislature may find that it was advisable to maintain it later, but that's for a future legislature to do that. But at this point, Mr. Chair, that is the purpose of the piece in this legislative bill, and I stand for any questions.
Representative Petersburg, thank you for the setup. Members, we are Section 12, which are basically lines 10.18 to the end of the bill relative to the advisory task force. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Petersburg. Didn't Minute already set up a committee or a working group to do this? Is this redundant, or what is this going to do different than the current group that's set up to advise Minute?
Representative Petersburg.
First of all, there is some sort of committee that Minute has set up. This actually extends beyond just Minute. It goes also to include other stakeholders, including legislators that are involved, and it also is reporting the findings to the legislature, who overall ultimately has responsibility for oversight, at least through fiduciary responsibilities in case there are some issues moving forward. So this whereas there is another committee there, this actually would be more expansive and I think more address the needs of the taxpayers out there as well as the legislature.
Representative Nelson, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess this is another expansion of government I'm seeing here, and that's coming from your side of the aisle, which is surprising. We've had a lot of these, but I mean, we do need the information. We do need to fix the problem. I don't. It seems like we're doing a lot of a miring of the problem and not doing a lot that we can get to moving forward to getting the problem fixed quickly. So, but other than that,
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Anyone else? Committee member questions on the bill before us, House File 3463. Anyone from committee? Is there anyone from the public or present today would like to testify on House File 3463 that is before the committee at this time? House File 3463. Good morning and welcome. If you will state your name for the record, once you get settled in, and who you represent, proceed with your testimony. Good morning and again, welcome.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Dawn Olson, and I'm the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services. And I'm here today to discuss some areas of consideration and concern for House File or Senate File 3250. I'm sorry, House File 3463. Sorry.
No worries.
One of the main areas that I would like to bring forward in consideration is the content of the language that you can find on page 9. With regards to issuance of a certificate of title by deputy registrars. This is a proposal that is a fundamental change.
I'm going to interrupt
change.
You for just a second. That's outside of the purview of this committee. If it helps you to make the case for sections 12 to the end, we'll certainly give you the latitude, but that part is out of the purview of this committee.
I understand that, but it does tie back to section 12.
Just want to make sure.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Because that is a fundamental difference into the way that we process titles in the state of Minnesota, we feel that something of this magnitude and this consideration would be something that would be a consideration for an advisory committee to bring forward and not just put it into law with some general statements around it. Most states that pass legislation to have third-party vendors issue titles have model laws that they follow, and so this law has not been fully vetted or understood as to how we would fully incorporate something that into law and to make that effective for deputy registrars. So while we support the work of an executive steering committee, we also know that there are several executive steering committee bills that are under consideration this legislative session. And we don't bring forward any concerns about what is being proposed, but we feel that there are certainly elements of consideration that are in this bill that should be taken forward to this committee before they are passed into law. And our main concern around is issuing these titles at the point of contact at the deputy registrar offices. We know that very few states allow third parties to issue titles, and those that do have very stringent laws and protections around that to mitigate fraud and other factors that go along with the integrity of a title. And so we would want you to consider that as we look forward into this legislation.
Thank you for your testimony. This bill does have at least two more stops, commerce and transportation, where some of the issues on titling and those kinds of things would probably be in the purview of the Transportation Committee. From my experience. But thank you for your thoughts this morning. Members, questions of the testifier. Representative Nelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And yes. If you would stay there, Ms. Olson. The question I have, and again, this would probably come to transportation finance also, but is the current MNLAR system as it's designed capable of doing this, or are we talking about having to add capabilities to the MNLAR system that we all know when you add capabilities and have to reprogram a system that's going to cost money?
Ms. Olson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think those are definitely things that we would have to take under consideration in this advisory committee, because there are a lot of different avenues and directions that you could take with this approach to legislation. Anything that's new functionality, we would have to come forward and have that discussion around it. So it's not something that exists today. It would have to be something new that would have to be considered.
Representative Nelson, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's all.
Ms. Olson, I don't have any other member questions, but you may want to stand by if there are a few here.
Absolutely.
Anyone else wishing to testify? We're at public testimony on House File 3463. Anyone else wishing to testify? Good morning and welcome. Greetings. If you'll go ahead, once you get settled in, state your name, who you represent, and proceed with your testimony this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Julie Hansen. I am the customer service, property and customer service manager for Scott County, as well as the deputy registrar. I'm here today to represent Scott County as well as the Minnesota Association of County Officers. I actually wasn't planning to make any comments today, but just to refer back to Director Olson's testimony regarding the deputy registrar printing of titles, our comments on that is we would actually like to support that portion of the bill. We as county offices already have the ability to edit and make corrections to birth and death certificates, so this would not be something foreign to us, as well as print them on the spot for customers. We do see that that could provide some savings for the department as well, and I know that in this era we're always looking for places to save money, so we as deputy registrars would be willing to take that on. So those are my only comments. I'd be happy to stand for questions.
Yes, thank you for your testimony. Anyone wishing to ask the testifier questions as members? Seeing none, may want to stay by. Who knows? There may be some questions coming up. Thank you for your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the public or present today that would like to testify on the matter before the committee? House File 3463. Seeing none and hearing none, having no other member questions at this time, Representative Petersburg, we will give you the final word before we consider the bill this morning.
Just thank you for hearing the bill, and I ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Petersburg, I will renew my motion that House File 3463 be re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Regulation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails.
Thank you.
We are now to, thank you, Representative Petersburg, we are now to House File 3032, Representative Lehman, followed by House File 3273, Representative Albright. Representative Lehman is making her way to the testifying table. And with that, I will move before the committee House File 3032 to be re-referred to the Committee on Transportation and Policy. Representative Lehman, welcome to the committee. And when you're ready, I ask you to go ahead and do a bill presentation to the committee. Welcome.
Okay, thank you, Chair and committee members. I appreciate you taking the time to consider Bill House File 3032 this morning. Before I get going, however, I would like to move the amendment A3. This is an amendment that actually was approved in civil law, but the version of the bill that was sent to you inadvertently left this out. It's an amendment that makes sure that not only the U.S. Sex Offender Registry is required for background checks, but also the Minnesota Registry. So I'd like to move that to get the bill in the shape that I would like.
Representative Lehman, I believe you said the A3 amendment. We have an A8 amendment.
Oh,
is that the correct amendment?
Excuse me, the A8 amendment.
Very good. Just wanted to clarify with the bill author to make sure that we were getting the bill in the shape that the author wishes. I will move the A8 amendment to House File 3032 to get the bill in the shape that the author wishes. Any discussion on the A8 amendment, members? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lehman, you said this adds which two groups into the...
It's an amendment that makes... the initial bill stated that the U.S. Sex Offense Registry would be required for background checks. This amendment adds also the Minnesota Registry.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted that clarified.
And for the purposes of the purview of this committee, because it also is a bill that has many stops, we are lines 7.26 in subdivision 12 to the end of the bill on line 8.18, dealing with the uniform statewide regulation on the bill. So that would be the part that is within the purview of our committee. Representative Lehman, okay, the bill is now in the order that you would like.
We haven't voted yet.
Oh, sorry. I was just wondering. I knew you would keep me on the straight and narrow, Representative Nelson. So with that, all those in favor of the A8 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the bill is now in the order that the author wishes. Now, Representative Lehman, if you will proceed with your bill setup. And again, members, we have a subdivision 12, which is lines 7.26 through the end of the bill within the purview of our committee. Representative Lehman.
Okay, great. Thank you again. And I am here today with Max Patton from Lyft, who can tell you about what they see that they can offer once Minnesota joins the 45 other states with similar laws on their books. As you know, Lyft, along with Uber, provides driver services, and they currently have different regulations and oversight depending on the cities that they operate in. What this bill before you does is provide a uniform standard of regulations that will allow Lyft and Uber to operate within the state of Minnesota with a consistent set of standards. And this process that we're undertaking right now is all about listening and making good policy. I'm proud that the changes in this bill come after listening to the concerns of those who oppose the bill in a very transparent way during committee, and then turning those concerns into better legislation. So why is Sandy Lehman from Cohasset, Minnesota, authoring a Lyft bill? I enjoy using the Lyft service when I'm here in St. Paul, when I'm here in the Twin Cities. And I want this service to be able to operate throughout the state of Minnesota. Lyft could do that now, but the process will be made much easier if there is a uniform set of consistent standards upon which they can rely, which will promote, will enhance their ability to make investments in marketing this service and actually expanding this service throughout the state of Minnesota. Secondly, as a woman, I have a higher level of safety driving with this service. I appreciate the fact that when I call up the service on my smartphone, I see a picture of the driver, I see a picture of the car, I see the license plate. When I get into the car, I don't have to make a monetary transaction. It's all handled offline on my credit card. And my experience has been a safe one. It's been a congenial one. I like the fact that the driver rates me and I rate the driver, and so we're on our best behavior during the ride. And finally, I can see where Lyft creates economic opportunities. The drivers that I've ridden with, for the most part, have been part-time. They have other jobs, but they need the extra income. And so after work, they will spend a few hours driving for Lyft. It's a different model, certainly, from what we're used to having. And it's exciting for economic opportunities for young people and really people of all ages, for women and for men. So with that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Patton and let him get into the bill a little further.
Mr. Patton, welcome to the committee. If you'll state your name and who you represent, proceed with your testimony, sir.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Chairman and Representative. My name is Matt Patton. I'm the Midwest Public Policy Manager for Lyft. The bill before you, as Representative Lehman said, codifies much of what we already do across the state in the law in order to avoid a patchwork of regulations, and more importantly, so we can bring more services to your state. Currently, there are 6 cities with different ride-sharing licenses across Minnesota. At the time of their creation, Lyft only operated in those cities, so it made sense for local regulators to do good work making sure the residents were protected through local ordinances. We're continuing to work with those cities throughout this process. However, today our technology is capable statewide. In order to make sure the good work started by local regulators continues in every corner of your state, often where local regulatory resources aren't as complex, a uniform set of statewide regulations is needed. 45 states where Lyft is now even more capable have adopted bills like this, and we're excited to bring all that we offer to your residents, your economy, and hopefully continue getting from here to there a little bit easier. Thanks for the opportunity to testify today, and with that, hope I was brief and happy to answer any of your questions.
Member questions at this time? Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess this might be for the bill author, but you know, the preemption language on line 7.29, it says that the section supersedes any ordinance adopted by a political subdivision that specifically governs transportation network companies, drivers, or TNC vehicles, including those adopted before the effective date of this section. You know, there are cities and counties adopt lots of ordinances that are very broadly applicable to all of the employers within their jurisdiction, and that might include transportation network companies. You know, there are some ordinances regulating local minimum wage. I mean, I read this language pretty broadly, and it would that potentially interpreting preempting that. You know, there's a local jurisdiction might want to strengthen the state smoke-free law to prohibit smoking in some of these vehicles. You know, I guess for the bill author, to the extent that an ordinance like one of those ones would apply to a transportation network company, do you see that those sorts of more broadly applicable ordinances would be superseded as well?
Representative Lehman.
I think I'm going to have Mr. Patton answer that question.
Mr. Patton, to the question from Representative Freiberg.
Sure. Representative, it's the goal of this legislation to incorporate many of the things that these cities do in the existing ordinances into a new ride-sharing law statewide. Particularly with smoking, Lyft already prohibits smoking our vehicles as company practice. So there's a lot of things that we do already. We're codifying many of those things in the bill, not everything in the bill. We do want to make it fit with Minnesota state law.
Representative Freiberg, follow-up.
Yeah, I guess I appreciate that Lyft has that policy, but there's no guarantee that every transportation network company is going to have something like that. I mean, my question is just beyond that issue. It's just if there is a broadly applicable ordinance that applies to different to a range of employers, not just transportation network companies. I mean, this language, this preemption language sounds pretty broad here, and it sounds to me like it might be that sort of ordinance might be preempted as well. If you want to comment, I guess that'd be fine.
Representative Freiberg, just a quick question for you. Line 7.29 in subdivision 12, item B, that second line talks about the subdivision specifically governs transportation network companies. Where's the ambiguity from your perspective on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe the word specifically helps, but I guess I'm not sure. I mean, if there's a broadly applicable ordinance to every employer in a city, to me that would seem to be a, whether it's a smoke-free law, minimum wage ordinance, it just seems to me that that would specifically govern a transportation network company, at least arguably. And I just have a concern that this preemption language might be reaching more than what the testifier said was the intent.
Mr. Patton or Representative Lehman.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Freeberg, that's certainly not the intent. That's an interesting question. That's not the intent of this law at all. It's just simply this does replace local ordinances that are on the books right now that govern these transportation services. You might be happy to know that we had a terrific stakeholder meeting yesterday with with the cities that have ordinances, and we invited them to provide us with written comments on any questions they have that where there's differences between our bill and their current ordinances. We laid out several items, many of which are easily handled. Others are still under discussion, but There was no ambiguity with the cities as we spoke with them.
Representative Freiberg? Representative Joachim, give you a chance to, and then we've got some testifiers. Ann Lindstrom, if you want to start making your way down as well. Charlie Vande, RD, if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, have also asked to testify. Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Lehman, for bringing this forward. I can see the intent is good, and I'm glad that you're working with the stakeholders to see, because my concern is by superseding these local ordinances, I'm sure we're going to hear about that, you're actually lightening some of the restrictions that are already in place. And I'm sorry, I forgot. I didn't catch your name, Mr.
Sure, Patton.
Mr. Pat?
Patton.
Patton, sorry, Mr. Right. Patton. Sorry. I have a little head cold, so.
I blame my parents for the alliteration.
Yes. So, Mr. Patton, I'm a little concerned because I hope you will consider some of these other restrictions cities have put in place, including rolling background checks. To do a background check just once is not enough. And that's, while your company may have a different policy, that's not what's in the bill. Making sure the vehicles are newer and there's different qualifications on what vehicles can be driven, that's not in the bill. So there's the concern we have about superseding, or I have about superseding local ordinances, that they've been really carefully crafted to make sure that there is true, really stiff consumer protection. And by making this a statewide and lessening those consumer protections, there is a real concern with that.
Mr. Patton?
Sure. So many of the concerns that you mentioned, the first one you mentioned was the background checks. I'm sorry, Representative, the second concern you mentioned.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Patton, it was the newness of the vehicles and inspections and some other stiffer regulations that local governments have put in place.
Sure, Mr. Patton. Some of those, specifically with the vehicle year, is another rule that Lyft does have about the vehicle year. What we committed to yesterday in the meeting with the stakeholders is to work to find ways to insert language that includes what we already do based on their concerns and their feedback into the bill as it gets amended through the committee process transparently. So I feel like we've committed to working with them, and thank you for voicing those concerns.
Representative Joachim?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just have a real concern with those preemptions of local stiffer ordinances, and I understand that it makes it easier for you to participate in the state. You already can. There's plenty of cities that don't have those local ordinances, so just I'm sure we'll hear more about the preemption from the next testifier, so I'll just let it there.
Representative Lehman, did you want to comment on the matter, on Representative Joachim's testimony?
Sure. I guess I would just reiterate that we are having really good discussions with these local communities and commend them for the work that they've done on these ordinances and for their cooperative spirit in working with us. So as I said in my earlier comments, we are listening and developing good policy as a result.
At this time, I don't have any other member questions. And so, Ms. Lindstrom, if you would like to come down and testify, and then again followed by Charlie Vander, to have him. And then we will proceed with the rest of the people that we have on our list this morning as well. Good morning and welcome to the committee. If you'll state your name for the record and who you represent, and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Welcome. Chair. Ann Lindstrom, League of Minnesota Cities. And though a group of stakeholders has met to attempt to find consensus, that's not the case we have right now. We'll continue working with the author and the stakeholder who have been convened. As has already been discussed, there are several cities that have worked very hard to establish ordinances that make sense for their cities and that are in the best interest of their constituents to elevate public safety and economic development. Here in the hearing room are representatives from both Minneapolis and St. Paul who have far more expertise than I do in the process that they went through to do so. I can say that as we continue to work with the proponents of the bill, as long as there is language that preempts cities' ability to regulate the companies, we're going to have strong concerns to say the least, especially for those who have already established their concerns. In the Senate hearing this morning, a delete all amendment was adopted, so we're not quite sure where we stand in the House because we haven't seen that here. There's been discussion about the authority of regulation, if that's going to be with the Department of Commerce or the Department of Transportation. And I can say that across the board, there's concern about capacity for regulation, for doing spot checks, things like that, that, again, our locally elected officials are tasked with maintaining and preserving the welfare and health and safety of their constituents, which is why they've entered into regulating these businesses from the first place. With that, I think it might, if those testifiers are interested in sharing their experiences, they are here. But I can stand for any questions if there are.
Questions for Ms. Lindstrom? Seeing no member questions, we'll have you stand by. Oh, Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the testifier just elaborate some of the issues that are covered?
Representative Mason, if you could draw a little closer forward to the mic for the record. Thank you.
If you would elaborate on some of the issues or concerns that have been covered by the local governments.
Sure. Thank you, Representative and Chair. And again, I think some of the others in the room might be able to speak to this. And we talked about some of these at our meeting. So it's my understanding that some of these issues may be addressed. Requirements for the how long someone has had a driver's license. I know that the disability community is concerned about the accessibility of vehicles that can accommodate things like wheelchairs and things like that. The spot check issue, I know, has come up in the discussions as well. And that's just a handful of them. But we have a more robust list that we addressed at our meeting yesterday as well.
Representative Mason, follow-up?
No, thank you.
Ms. Lindstrom, thank you. Again, we'll have you stand by in case there are any follow-up questions that we need to be looking at. And our next testifier is making his way to the table. And after he is done, we'll also have Ricardo Sorrentes, if I'm not mistaken, from the city of St. Paul to testify as well. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. If you'll identify yourself for the record and who you represent and proceed with your testimony. Good morning. Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Charlie Vanderetti for Metro Cities, and we represent cities across the seven-county metro region. I thank the bill author for convening stakeholders yesterday and listening to specific concerns, but I recognize there's a lot more work to be done on this bill to address our concerns. So, Mr. Chair, Metro Cities respectfully opposes House File 3032, specifically Section 3, Subdivision 12, which preempts local ordinances and regulations. This provision contradicts Metro Cities' policies, which support local authority and allowing municipalities to work with local businesses and local residents to decide their own local ordinances. Paragraph B of the subdivision would have the effect of nullifying ordinances that have already been enacted by cities. Metro Cities continues to look forward to working with Representative Lehman to address these concerns. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your testimony this morning. Member questions? Seeing none, I'll just ask you to hang by in case there are some follow-up questions. Mr. Sorrentes. Good morning and welcome to the committee. If you will state your name and who you represent when you get settled in and then proceed with your testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Ricardo Cervantes. I'm the director of the Department of Safety and Inspections with the City of St. Paul. And I am one of the stakeholders that did get an opportunity to meet yesterday and voice our concerns. I want you to know that St. Paul is open to new and innovative ways of improving services and supporting a vibrant and strong business community. The Department of Safety and Inspections is charged with protecting the health and safety of its residents and its visitors. In 2013 and 2014, St. Paul worked in cooperation with several metro cities, the Metropolitan Airports Commission, the Met Council, our state representatives, as well as the TNC industry, to enact a well-thought-out, fair, reasonable, and effective ordinance that provides protection for passengers and drivers of TNC services. These laws have been developed into practices that have been proven to be effective in the city of St. Paul, and things are working well. Prior to this hearing, I've actually testified at four other committee hearings. We have submitted our, as I had stated, submitted our concerns to the author, as well as the Senate File 2704. During the review of this bill, it became apparent that we needed to better understand how the state would be able to enact and administer this bill as it's written. The bill does not contain specific language as to who will be responsible for ensuring compliance of its proposed regulations, or what enforcement systems will be in place to gain compliance, or how the state will appropriately fund a program to do those regulations. In addition to those larger questions, we have concerns regarding the language in the bill that diminishes safety and creates an unfair competitive advantage for TNCs. In the proposed language, it appears as though folks that are still serving sentence under the criminal background check could be allowed to serve as TNC drivers. The frequency of those background checks has already been brought up. The City of St. Paul, Minneapolis checks those annually. As well as training for drivers. There is no express requirement for training of any of these drivers. The proposed language provides vague vehicle inspection requirements and establishes no standards. So it lists all the different components of the vehicles, but really doesn't talk about to what standard are they going to be inspected.
Mr. Sorrentes, I appreciate the fact that you're briefing the committee on some of the things that are outside of our jurisdiction, but if you want to tie those to the Subdivision 12, the statewide regulation on that, because you're getting into some areas that this committee doesn't have jurisdiction in.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I thought the broad category of statewide regulations includes...
I just kind of hear you move a little bit further away to other committees that
okay.
This has stops.
All right.
So I just want to, for the benefit of the committee. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Then I'll get to the point of a statewide program. And that is, you know, we have a great concern in regards to how this is going to be administered. I also just want to hit the points that currently the emphasis of this bill is to allow for more commerce in the city. That can happen already. There's nothing prohibiting that. There's nothing within our current local jurisdictions that would prohibit them from working from city to city in regards to adhering to our regulations, provided that the platform is licensed in each city. And then lastly, we'll continue to work with the author in regards to the items that we have concerns about. We have a 16-point list that we've provided the author, as well as a process in ensuring that all stakeholders are brought to the table. I think those in the metro area have certainly been invited, and I can't speak to other jurisdictions that have not been present in these discussions.
Mr. Cervantes, I don't have any member questions right now, but I'm going to ask you to hang tight and see if we do have any questions. Anyone, members, questions for Mr. Cervantes? Representative Nelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is more for the author's bill. Do we have more testimony coming forward? Or
we do have a few more testifiers.
Well, wait until we're done, then I'll ask my question.
Very good.
Then the documents, I'll...
if you want to give them to Santa, our page, and she can get them distributed to us. Thank you, Mr. Sorrento. Appreciate your testimony this morning. I have one other testifier who has asked, and then if there's other members of the public that would like to testify, I'm going to ask Mr. Ed Renesos to come forward at this time. And as he's getting ready, again, if there's anyone else that would like to testify from the public or who's present here today, I invite you to do so on House File 3032. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. We'll have you state your name and who you represent and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Edward Reynoso. I'm the political director for Teamsters Joint Council 32. We represent over 62,000 active and retired members in the state of Minnesota, and specifically we represent drivers at the MAC. I'm here to testify in opposition to House File 3032, and, you know, although it's House File 3032, we see it as the destroy and eliminate your competitors bill. Because, quite frankly, that's the way we see it. And with all due respect, we see this as a power grab by Mr. Patton and his company, Lyft, and to create an unfair competitive advantage, plain and simple. And the reason I say that is, you know, I know there's a lot of conversation that takes place about the market should dictate what happens in an industry. And to a certain extent, we agree. But the legislature should not be in the business of creating such an unfair competitive advantage that it will virtually eliminate the rest of the competitors that Uber and Lyft have. And I mean specifically the taxi industry. You know, the drastic competitive edge, and I really want to put it in perspective. A cab driver at the airport pays $3,450 just for the right to pick somebody up at the airport. If you look at that, that's almost $2.4 million for 700 cab drivers at the airport. In comparison, Uber and Lyft would be able to pay $5,000 statewide. $5,000, that's $1,600 less, more than the cab drivers individually. So we believe that this sets an unfair competitive advantage. And imagine setting up guidelines that tilt it in such a favor for your competitors to be put out of business. It's almost like telling UPS that they can only pick up round boxes, yet FedEx could pick up square boxes. That's the ridiculousness of this unfair competitive advantage that would be created for the TNCs in the state of Minnesota. It will destroy, absolutely disseminate, destroy, should I say, the taxi industry. There will be no more taxi industry. And some people could say, well, that's what the market calls for, but not when you create a competitive advantage for TNCs versus the cab companies. You know, I know the representative had said that all stakeholders have been involved in conversation. I can tell you I've never been invited. The taxi industry hasn't been invited. And there is nobody that's going to be impacted more negatively than the taxi industry in this state. Not one invitation, not one email, not one phone call, not one conversation, period. So we'd like to be invited. We'd like to be involved in this process. But at this point, I can tell you, well, Mr. Patton and Lyft comes here with a with this mentality that they just want to operate in the state of Minnesota. They can do that now. They can do that now. Nobody's stopping them. What they want, what they truly want, is no competition. And that's what this bill would create. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the author or your testifier, Mr. Patton, not Mr. Reynoso, Mr. Patton, if just a question. Other states, you said earlier in your testimony, have done this, and has that destroyed the taxi industry in those states?
Mr. Patton.
Madam Chair and Representative Nash, yes, 45 other states have a uniform set of standards for TNCs.
Sure, Representative, thanks for the question. It has not destroyed the taxi industry in other states, and this bill in no way changes any taxi regulations. There's no statewide taxi regulation for this to compete with, and the taxi industry is welcome to introduce their own set of legislation that would level the playing field as they allege.
Representative Nash? Okay. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe to the author, Representative Lehman, I think the concern Mr. Reynoso has is a valid one. There's some very loose language in Section 12 around, or Subdivision 12, around reasonable fees for the exemption that the airport can charge, and that in reasonable regulations, and that really is a big concern, because I don't know what a legal definition of reasonable would be. And the airport is a public entity we have that we want to make sure they continue to be thriving and that there is competition there. And I really do see this as not unleveling the playing field. So maybe you could maybe give me a definition of what a reasonable fee would be.
Representative Lehman.
Madam Chair and Representative Yoakum, I think so you are referring to 8.9, Section 4, charge reasonable fees for use of the airport or its facilities. And I'm going to ask Mr. Patton to address that. Thank you.
Mr. Patton.
Sure. Thanks, Representative. Currently, right now, it's our intention that with this bill to not affect any existing fees that the airport collects. That language was inserted for that reason, and we're continuing discussions with the airport to make sure they maintain their authority.
Representative Joaquin, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would highly recommend that you include the taxis in this conversation, because they are a big part of an integral part of our airport and our multimodal system. So, would suggest that you do that as you move forward.
Are there any further testifiers that would like to speak to this bill? Please come forward. Oh, is there another question?
Two more.
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Mr. Rainey, right here.
Two more testifiers. All right, please proceed. Please state your name for the record and say who you represent and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Gene Ranieri. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the City of Minneapolis. I'm not going to repeat testimony of others. I will confine my comments to Subdivision 12. The subdivision itself, I think, talks about statewide regulation. When you look at the bill, as I think several members have indicated, there are some gaps. There needs to be more detail in this bill regarding things like inspection and others. One of the things I'd like to point out is on Clause C, 1, imposing any fee on a transportation network driver or TNC vehicle if the fee relates to providing prearranged rides, entering into a jurisdiction of the political subdivision or operations of the transportation network company. We're not clear if this would let the City of Minneapolis to continue with its program of incentivizing taxi cabs to have wheelchair-accessible vehicles. We charge a surcharge on TNC companies and on taxi cabs to be used to incentivize the cab companies by reducing some of their fees to provide this service. Currently, we have 33 wheelchair-accessible cabs in our city, and if this amendment does apply to that, that would probably reduce our annual appropriation for this program by about two-thirds, and I don't know what it would do for the continuation of our program. And I'll stand for any questions, and we have continued to work with Representative Lehman on this, and at this point, though, we are so imposed.
Thank you. Are there any member questions? Representative Freiberg.
Just a question for Representative Lehman. Is there a reason you're seeking preemption for local ordinances related to transportation network companies, but not for taxis or limos or other hired transportation services?
Representative Lehman.
Madam Chair and Representative Freeburg, I would encourage the taxi cab industry to seek similar legislation if they would like to have statewide uniform standards, and they're encouraged to go down that path. We're working with a specific industry here that's not the taxi cab industry, and we're following 45 other states that have found this to be workable and reasonable. You know, I am from Little Cohasset, Minnesota, and I don't think that Cohasset has the capacity to oversee or administer a set of regulations governing TNCs. I don't want them to have to do that. I think that if you have a uniform set of standards for an industry that's been successful, it helps bring those industries to Representative Sandsteed's district, Representative Bliss's district, my district, and others throughout the state of Minnesota, communities that are smaller than St. Paul, smaller than Minneapolis, smaller than Mankato, and maybe don't have the staffing and the ability to have these regulations. So, Representative Freeburg, that's primarily my motivation in being involved.
Representative Freeburg, any follow-up?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I live in a city that's considerably smaller than Minneapolis as well, but and may not have the resources to regulate transportation network companies either, but they partly, maybe for that reason, they haven't. You know, I don't think the solution is necessarily to take away the authority of all cities and counties all throughout the state. You know, I mean, you mentioned that you really commend them for the work that they're done. It seems a strange way to show appreciation and commendation to just take away the authority of them to do it in the first place. And if a city doesn't want to do it, I mean, then they don't have to. I guess that's more of a comment than a question.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wasn't sure if for overall questions on the bill, do we have one more testifier? If so, I can wait.
Oh, that would be fine. Representative Mason, I'm not sure if you had a question for any testifiers so far or...
Well, the one I would ask right now is the fact that given that there are cities that have spent considerable time with regulations, specifically I thought that the comments about doing the inspections and the oversight, why wouldn't you include something like that in the bill? I mean, again, it's a public safety issue.
Mm-hmm. Representative Lehman.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative Mason, the oversight and the inspections are one of the issues that we're currently discussing with the local stakeholders. You know, we came together yesterday around common objectives, and they are that we all agreed on, and that's why the stakeholders that were invited. We all agreed that we're here with this bill to ensure safety, reliability, and effective transportation services provided by drivers affiliated with transportation network companies. We're specifically focused on transportation network companies and provide economic opportunities to the state of Minnesota and its citizens. So we are focused on that. And part of the inspection discussion, I think, will be resolved in the next committee when we're talking about the oversight agency, which we're working on an amendment right now with the Department of Transportation that would further those discussions.
I think that we're going to take testifiers. I think that was a great suggestion, Representative Joachim. Let's continue with the testimony, and then we'll proceed to talk about the rest of the bill. And so please come forward and state your name for the record and who you represent, and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, Chair and Committee. My name is Samantha Gagnon. I am here on behalf of Blue and White Taxi. And Blue and White Taxi is the largest taxi provider in the 7-county metro area. And I know Mr. Reynoso pointed this out. We have asked to be included in the stakeholder meetings, and we would still like to. I think we have some valuable input, but we have not yet. And we don't impose TNCs in this state. We think competition is very healthy. What we oppose is this bill because it weakens standards and provides little to no enforcement for only one player in this industry. Taxis are TNCs, and TNCs are taxis in our view. They provide the same services, and they have the same technologies as TNCs, and we had it before TNCs were around in this state. And therefore, we think they should be held to the same standards that taxis are held to. I know I won't touch on the background checks. That has been talked about some. But we are concerned that taxis have to get their vehicles inspected once a year, and TNCs have to get their vehicles inspected once, and they can do their own inspection, and there's no standards laid out for that inspection. The other is the amount of money that taxis have to invest into their own small business, because a lot of them own their cars. Blue and White has to pay $145,000 a year just to the city of Minneapolis, while this bill only allows Lyft and Uber to pay $5,000 annually each, and they have 10 times the amount of drivers in this state. Blue and White is happy to compete, but we cannot do so on such an unlevel playing field. I will comment on the 45 states. 45 states have similar bills, a wide variety of bills, but nothing exactly like this. So to say what it will do to the taxi industry here, we don't know.
Thank you. Any member questions? All right, seeing none. Representative Jessup.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the testifier. If you were included, if taxis were included in this particular piece of legislation, would you welcome that?
Absolutely. Taxis have... taxis have always followed the rules and regulations set forward by local municipalities and by the state for any services that they provide. And if these are the standards that the House of Representatives decides is safe for the entire public of Minnesota, the taxis are happy to follow these standards if this is what you think is right for the people of Minnesota.
Representative Jessup.
One follow-up, Madam Chair. Representing the taxi industry, now I know you're only one company, would you prefer that there be greater uniformity on the regulations that your industry needs to follow?
Ms. Gagnon.
Yes, we are not opposed to uniformity of standards because, you know, like I said, the fee for just Minneapolis is enormous, and if there were one standard across the board, I think we would definitely work with that.
Thank you. Any further questions? All right. Thank you for your testimony. Any other members or people of the public, please come forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up, I know there's been
You introduce yourself,
I'm
please?
Sorry, Madam Chair. Edward Reynoso with the Teamsters.
Thank you.
Representative Jessup, absolutely. We'd be delighted to be involved. I think it would create parity. I believe it would create fairness. And I think it would be good for the entire livery industry that everybody be treated equally. And so we're happy to be added to the bill if the author would accept it, but we're certainly interested in having some conversations with the other stakeholders. And Madam Chair, with regards to the question from Representative Nash on some of the other states, if the taxi industry still is striving there, I can tell you, Madam Chair and Representative Nash, that just in Minnesota at the MAC, before TNCs were at the airport, a regular taxi driver would normally get anywhere from 4 to 5 runs a day over an 8 to 10 hour period. Now they work 16 hours and get 2 runs. So it may not have eliminated or stopped the taxi industry, but I can tell you that it has destroyed the ability to provide for a family. No question. And it's not only in Minnesota, but it's across the country.
Representative Lehman, any response to the testimony that you'd like to share at this time before we go to other member questions?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. I would just reiterate that competition is a good thing. Competition brings about change. And we've heard testimony from the cab industry that this is competition. It is competition. And we would encourage the cab industry, if this is a catalyst for them to seek their own uniform standards, then we would encourage them to do that. Years ago, they chose not to have uniform standards. But it's We would encourage them to do that, but we are here today with the TNC companies looking for uniform standards, as we have in 45 other states, to encourage this industry. The interesting thing to me is all the stakeholders that we brought around the table yesterday, and these are all the people who already have ordinances in place, support the idea, and we're there to make this a better bill. And so with that, I would encourage a yes vote on this bill.
Well, Representative Blaine, we still have some member questions. I was wondering if you wanted to comment on the other. And at this point, I've got Halverson, Joachim, and Quam, and now Nelson.
I was there before.
Representative Halverson.
I'll pass, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe Mr. Patton can join you at the test fire table. I have a question for both of you, both Representative Lehman and Mr. Patton. It's already been covered that this bill is in other states, and my understanding is it's, like they said, variety in other states, and some are much stricter. And I completely understand wanting for a company to want the stability of a statewide regulation to help them grow their business. I understand that. But what we do here is also about balance and making sure that it's fair on both sides. So my question to you, would you be interested in looking at this bill as a statewide standard is more of a floor of where the standard should be set, but still allowing municipalities to create the ceiling? A lot of our bills do this, where there's a statewide standard, but cities are able to make them stricter, and that would be my question to you.
Mr. Patton.
Sure. Thank you, Representative, for your question. The bill before us specifically talks about wanting to create uniform regulations for transportation network companies, and part of the reason why we're doing that is not just to promote and expand our business, is to keep Minnesotans safe. Right now, absent the statewide regulation, we do a lot of practices that we agree to as a company for terms of service that drivers and passengers agree to every time they accept or deny a Lyft ride. Without that, I think there's probably an argument to be made that in cities that don't have ordinances, the state is not protecting the residents without this statewide regulation. So,
Mr. Patton, having I mean to cut you off. Go ahead, sir. Representative Joachim, follow-up.
Yes, Mr. O'Driscoll. I didn't hear a yes or no in that. So would you be willing to have this be a floor and let cities do a ceiling, yes or no?
Mr. Patton.
Well, no. I think this bill brings up a number of items that we feel would be good policy for a statewide regulation, and through the committee process, we want it to be as strong as possible so it is uniform and it's easy for drivers and passengers and cities alike to be protected throughout the state.
And members, we have about 9 minutes left of committee time. We will be voting on this before we are at the end of committee today, just for the record. So we spent about 55 minutes. I've allowed a lot of latitude to be able to allow people to have some discussion outside of the purview to get a good round backgrounding for the committee. So we will be voting on this before we are done with committee this morning and recess to come back this evening. So with that, Representative Quam, followed by Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the purview of this committee, I think we, you know, the discussion to the committee is what kind of base requirements we ought to have, and I think your bill is trying to attempt that, and I've had discussions with the author about the quality of those, and the other purview would be if we wanted to cap the maximum things the city could do, and then the committee would allow, you know, the government would allow some flexibilities to the particulars of the municipality, not knowing all municipalities. So the intent, I think I can, I'll definitely be voting to move on. I just need reassurance on the quality of what we're defining as a state minimum.
Is that Representative Quam to the bill author or to Mr. Patton, the testifier?
To the author.
Representative Lehman to Representative Quam's inquiry.
Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, I'm not sure I'm entirely clear on your question. I think you're asking that I will do my best to make sure that we have a high set of standards for the statewide bill. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Representative Quam.
I can handle the specifics of the standards discussion outside the committee. I just was letting the author know that for this committee, what I think is important is we decide whether this is an appropriate topic to have a minimum standard or a cap to?
Representative Lehman.
Yeah, I think that this committee is deciding today that this bill makes sense, that we need uniform standards for this service. And, I think you can be assured that we are working hard to make sure that we get the best bill for the state of Minnesota.
Representative Nelson, thank you for your patience. You will have the last member comment today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, I'd like to ask for a roll call on this, on the bill. My question is, looking at subdivision 12, as we've been discussing here, this is a preemption bill, pure and simple. It's preempting local cities from enforcing ordinances or enacting ordinances to regulate taxi cabs and transportation networks, which taxi cabs, I believe, are. I guess the question I have and concern I have on this, maybe we do need to do this. I don't know if all the stakeholders have been involved. We've heard a couple that are transportation networks that haven't been involved yet, so I think we need more work done on this bill. But I guess the concern I have as this bill goes forward is seeing this on the floor and becoming the Christmas tree added on, all the stuff and all the preemption stuff that we had last session that kind of blew up at the end of session being emerged into this bill. And I'm just wondering, Representative Lehman, are you going to not allow that to happen to your bill going forward, or are we going to be looking forward to somebody on the floor merging all the preemption stuff from last year onto this bill?
Representative Lehman.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, this is not a Christmas tree bill. This is complex enough as it is. We are trying to get the best bill for TNCs. We think we have a real opportunity here to further the expansion of Lyft and Uber throughout Minnesota. It's a complex bill with lots of stakeholders. This is not a Christmas tree bill.
Representative Nelson.
Well, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Lehman. What I'm hearing you say, and you can say yes or no when I'm done, that you're not going to allow that to happen to your bill. And I hope that goes forward, but it doesn't mean someone else can't try to, like I said, put all those other ornaments on it and make it a grand preemption bill. Like I said, last year we had issues with that and caused a veto of a certain bill that's important for the whole state. And hopefully going forward, we don't see that. And I hope you continue to work with the stakeholders, including the ones that came forward today, that to make this a better bill and make this so that it works for everybody.
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, I concur.
And with that, I have no other member questions. And Representative Lehman, I think you've already kind of wrapped up your comments. Any other quick thoughts before we proceed with a vote?
Just encourage a yes vote. Thank you very much.
I renew my motion that House File 3032 be as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Transportation Policy. A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Aye.
Representative Pugh.
Aye.
Representative Bliss.
Aye.
Representative Fenton.
Aye.
Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Halverson.
No.
Representative Jessup.
Aye.
Representative Lee.
No.
Representative Mason.
No.
Representative Nash.
Yes.
Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Peterson.
Aye.
Representative Quam.
Aye.
Representative Stansted.
No.
Representative Swazinski.
Yes.
Representative Tice.
Yes.
Representative West.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
No.
No.
The result of the roll call vote being 11 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does prevail. The bill is re-referred to the Committee on Transportation Policy as amended. Members, a couple of pieces of housekeeping detail here. We still have 4 or 5 bills that the committee will need to be taking up later this evening. We'll be meeting in room 10, And we have, we will recess to the call of the chair. I can tell you that with other commitments that I have, it will not be before 6 o'clock p.m. this evening. So we will be in contact with all members to let you know. But it says 5. I can assure you we will not be back before 6 p.m. this evening. With that, we stand in recess until the call of the chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Thank you. 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 Thank you.